Alright, B'siyat HaNishmaya, we're going to get into our weekly parasha summary, and we're up to parashat Lech Lecha, the story of Avram Avinu, and Avram, our forefather, being chosen by Hashem to continue the revelations of God into this world, and to spread Emunah to everybody. Avram and Noach overlapped 52 years, give or take, and Avram, like Rabbi Nachman explained, was one in the world. Avraham was Ivri, he was a Hebrew, meaning the whole entire world was going in one path, and Avraham, Avar, passed over and went to the other side. Everybody in the world was trying to do idol worship and to go against God, and Hashem sent a little light, a spark, into the heart of Avraham to seek him out. From 3 years old to 50 years old, he's just developing the seek and the search of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Until a point comes, which is our week's parasha, Lech Lecha. Hashem turns to Avram. At this moment, he's still called Avram and not Avraham. He calls him out and he says to him, Lech Lecha, go. Go out of your land, go out of the place you grew up in, the society you grew up in, go out of your father's home. And Bezat Hashem, this too is a message for each one of us. Every single one of us has the opportunity to go into new places, new lands that we haven't experienced, places that we don't know yet. And we all grew up in certain houses, in certain situations, in certain environments that were maybe not so conducive for our goal and where we're trying to end up. And comes Hashem and calls out to each one of us, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, for your own benefit, for your own growth, and you'll be turned into an amazing thing that you could never imagine. Hashem has plans for you that can take you out of any kind of situation. And here specifically in Avram's case, we see that he had parents that were not so holy, and they acted in an improper way, and they even made him out of a state of nida and tuma and all these horrible things. Rabbi Yaakov talks about this, from the place that the fact that you were born in tuma. You have to get out of that. Baruch Hashem, yesterday I was sitting with Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger, Shlita, and he brought down the amazing thing that when we honor our parents, even if they came up from a bad place, when we honor our parents, then by way of that honor and that kavod that we give them, we're doing a mitzvah by way of the spark that we have inside of them. We have their genes and their makeup inside of us. And when we honor them, we elevate that out of us. And we're able to purify ourselves to get all of the impurities out. And then really, Hashem will make us into a great nation and bless us and increase His name, and there will be blessing. And whoever blesses us will be blessed, and whoever curses us will be lit up. That's the words of the Torah. It does not say cursed. Those who curse you, I will shine light on them. I will shine light on them, that they'll be able to see that the Jewish people is the way that the bracha comes. They're going to get the lesson, and you see it throughout all of history, that whoever cursed us, they had a lesson made out of them, and they became a light. They became something that is remembered by way of the fact that they opposed us. So, B'zat Hashem, we'll get into the parasha summary. The parasha starts off with Hashem calling out to Avram that he should leave his land, the place that he was born into, his father's house, and the land where he grew up, and go to this land that I will show you. Areka. Areka is also gematria, ananim, clouds. To teach us, the rabbis say, that there was clouds of glory that walked in front of Abram and Sarah to clear the path for them into the land of Israel. And Hashem promises Abraham that in this new place that he's going to, the land of Eretz Yisrael, you'll have children, and you'll have money, and his name will be known, and Hashem will bless everybody that blesses him, and curse, so to say, everybody that curses Avram. And everybody will be blessed by way of you. Avram hears this and listens to the words of Hashem, and he leaves his land where his father was, and Lot, his nephew, goes with him. And Avram at this moment is 75 years old when he came out of Haran. Avram takes Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all of their rechush, all of their their belongings and their property. And Chazal teaches there that the nefesh asher asu b'charan, that they were in the middle of converting a lot of people. That's the rechush, that's the true property. And they took all these people with them. Right? It says that Avram would convert the men, and Sarah would convert the women. And they went all together to Eretz Canaan. Avram goes into Eretz Israel, and he passes by way of Shechem in order to pray for Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi are his great-grandchildren, the children of Yaakov, and there's going to be a war there against Hamor, Shechem ben Hamor, when he later in the Torah will put his hands on our sister Dinah. So Shimon and Levi go to war there, and Avram stops in Shechem in order to give them bracha in their war. And he continues to go until he gets to Elon Moreh. And then, at that moment, the Torah tells us that the Kenani was here in the land, ruling over the land. Hashem again reveals himself to Avram Avinu when he's in Elonei Mamre, and he tells him that I will give you all of this land. I'm going to give it to you and to your offspring. Avram builds an altar, a Mizbeach, in order to say thank you to Hashem for the fact that he's going to have children and that he's going to get the land of Israel. We see here also the important connection between Yitzchak and Eretz Yisrael, that the message of Yitzchak and Eretz Yisrael came together. And therefore you see how Yitzchak Avinu doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael. They're intrinsically connected from the time the message was given to Abraham. They were paired already then. And then Avraham moves away from Shechem and Elonei Mamre, and he goes to Beit El. And there he builds another altar to Hashem to say thank you to Hashem and to pray. And Avraham starts to travel around all these different places in Eretz Yisrael, and he always comes back to the south of Israel. Why? Because in Canaan, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, there was a lot of famine. And because of that, eventually Avraham and Sarah, they have to go and live in Egypt. And before they get into Egypt, before they make it to the border, Avraham says to his wife, Sarah, he says, since you're such a beautiful woman, and Mitzrayim, Egyptians, who were classically very, very ugly people, were not used to seeing such beautiful people, I'm scared that they will find out that you're my wife. And then if they find out that you're my wife, then you're forbidden, and they'll end up killing me, and they'll take you. Therefore, please, when we get inside Egypt, please say that you're my sister, and it will be that I will be saved because of you helping me and not telling them the truth. And then, truthfully, when they got to Eretz Yisrael, the land of Egypt, the people there really did see the beauty of Sarah, and straight away they said that she is fitting for ministers and kings. And then they took her to the house of Pharaoh. And because of her, Avram was saved and he wasn't killed. And they didn't take his money. And Paro also gave him a ton of gifts, a ton of wealth. But an angel of Hashem escorted Sarah into the house of Paro in order to protect her. And Hashem gave a commandment to this angel that he should hit Paro and all of the people in his house with a plague that essentially would affect them, that they won't be able to do anything in a bedroom. Paro starts to ask questions. Why in the world is Hashem doing this? What's going on here? And then Sarah reveals herself to Paro and says that she's really the wife of Avram and not his sister. And immediately Paro calls to Avram and asks him, why did you do this to me? Why in the world would you not tell me that this is your wife? Why did you say that she's your sister? I wanted to take her to be my wife if she's your sister. And she would be the queen here and she'll rule over all of Egypt. But immediately they got hit with these plagues. And I couldn't touch her and I didn't come close to her. And now take her and get out of here. Paro sends now a whole bunch of forces to help escort Avram out of Egypt and to make sure that they get out of there. And he sends them away with gifts. Avram, Sarai, and Lot, they leave Egypt to the direction of the south of Eretz Yisrael. Avram is extremely wealthy at this time. He has silver, gold, he has a lot of livestock, he has a lot of wealth, a lot of property, a lot of possessions. And Avram's going towards Beit El. He already had a tent there, he already had a living situation there, and he's going back to there. And he goes back to that same altar and he prays to Hashem. And we get into the third Aliyah. Lot also is always attached to Avram, so he too also got blessed with a lot of wealth and a lot of possessions and livestock. And since they were both very, very wealthy with a lot of possessions, and they were in the same situation, in the same place at a certain time, they couldn't stay there. It was not enough room for all of the livestock and all of the possessions that they had. And this closeness and overpopulation and being too densely populated between Avram's camp and Lot's camp, at a certain point, the shepherds started to fight. The shepherds started to fight, and the Torah emphasizes again that the Kenani and the Prizi were there in the land, meaning that there's other nations as well, we don't really have that much room. And Avram comes to Lot, his nephew, and tells him, please, let's not fight, not between me and you, and not between our shepherds. We're family, we're like brothers. And again, this is uncle and nephew speaking. And since the land that's in front of us is abundant, I have an idea. Let's split up. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. And the opposite too. And Avram promises that he'll always be there to help Lot. Lot receives this advice, this strategy, and he starts to lift up his eyes to see where he's going to move to. And he sees that the plain of the Jordan, which is, if you know Israel now, the area of the Dead Sea and Zdom and Amorah, that whole area is filled with water and vegetation. It doesn't look back then how it looks now. Now, right, it's after Zdom and Amorah, after Hashem destroyed that whole entire area. Before then, it looked like Gan Eden. It looked like the most beautiful place in the world. That everything there was good, beautiful, grew well. And Lot wants to go there. Lot, the nephew that got all of his wealth only because of his uncle, when given an opportunity to go pick a place to live, he takes the choicest place with the best chef and abundance that's there, instead of giving it to his uncle. And he separates from Avram. And he goes and he lives in a different place. Avram stays in the land of Canaan. Lot is there in the plains of the Jordan, and he makes cities and villages all the way to Zdom. The people of Zdom are extremely, extremely bad people, wicked people, and they're sinning all the time. And they wanted to rebel against Hashem. Essentially, their continuation of this Migdal Babel, this Tower of Babel kind of mindset, just in Zdom and Amorah. And after Lot separates from Avram, Hashem says to Avram, lift up your eyes, stand in your place, and look at the whole entire land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, everything you see, everything you touch, it's for you and for your children afterwards. It's a gift. And Hashem promises him that he'll have so many children, and they'll be spread out in the land, and you won't even be able to count them. They'll be like dust. Who could count dust? Who could count every grain of sand and dirt that we have? It's impossible. So too will be the children of Avram Avinu. And Hashem asks Avram to go take a walk. Walk all around the land of Israel. Everywhere that your foot touches, that's your land and your children's land. Avram again builds his tent next to the house of Mamre, one of his friends. And Mamre, why is he called Mamre? Because he was Mored, he rebelled and went against Avodah Zarah in the world. And that's essentially the city of Hebron. There Hashem connected again and built another. It connects to Avram, it chaber, Hebron, it means connection. Right? He connected again, and Avram builds a mizbeach, an altar, to be able to make a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem Yitbarach. In the fourth Aliyah, the Torah tells the story about how there was four kings and five kings. There was a battle and a war between them. And Marfel was the king of Shinar, which is Babel, Iraq area. Arioch was the king Elasar, which is Madai, more Persian. Kardal Omer is the king of Elam, which is Greece. Tidal is the king of Goyim, which is Edom. So we see, if you haven't picked up yet, if you know the story of the nation of Israel, from the beginning to the end of the Chumash, so you see that everything that the nation of Israel goes through as a people, the forefathers went through as individuals. Right? Sarah and Paro had to go down, that's the Shekhinah going down into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Right? Sarah became, there's a midrash that says she was the queen of Egypt for 6 months. 6 months she was the queen of Egypt. Yosef also, right? Yehuda comes to Yosef and tells him, Kamocha kefaro, you're like Paro. Right? There's all these things. Why? Because Paro also had Hebrews coming to him. All these things happen again and again and again. So too here, we have four kings that are coming to fight. And they represent the four different nations. Physically, they actually were in those lands. There's four different nations that put us through exiles. Those four fought against the five kings, which are Bera, which is the king of Zdom, Birsha, which is the king of Amorah, Shin'av, which is the king of Adama, and Shmever, which is the king of Tzvoim. Bela is Tzor, and all of these kings came together in their fields, in their agricultural fields, which is the area of Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. And there, they made a deal that these five kings, they will work together with Kedel HaOmer. And for 12 years, this is what the deal was. That was the pact that they had. And then for 13 years, they wanted to rebel against him. And in the fourth year, in the rebellion against Kedel HaOmer, the kings that were with him and fought very hard against the other five kings. And their helpers started to hit them and afflict them. The king of Zdom wanted to go out to defend these five kings and to fight against the other four. But the other four, the four kings, managed to push back and retreat and chase away the other kings. After that, they took all of their wealth, all of their possessions that were in Zdom and Amorah, and they took Lot captive. Right? Lot again is the nephew of Avraham. And they take all of his plant, all of his house, all of his property, his family, everything, they take them into captivity. Comes the Palit. Who's the Palit? The refugee. Who's the refugee? Og. Og is the refugee. Why is he called a refugee? He's the one that survived the flood, right? So he comes now and he says to Avraham that Lot was taken into captivity, into kidnapping. Avram quickly gets everything together and he goes to chase after these five kings and to fight them and to be able to be successful in getting Lot back. He made him a promise that even though we're splitting up now, I'm always going to help you. So now he's coming to keep his word and to get him back and to take everything and everything that was taken from him in Zdom. The king of Zdom comes out towards Avram and he's blown away by the power of Avram Avinu and how he was so successful in getting all the way to him. He realizes that this is a miracle that is done by way of Hashem, and he asks that Avram should be king over all of them. Malki Tzedek was the king of Yerushalayim, and he was the Kohen, right? He was the spiritual leader, Malki Tzedek, which is Shem, right? He receives Avraham with bread and with wine, right? That's how you would honor someone who came back from war. And afterwards he gives a blessing to Avram in the name of Hashem. And he blesses Hashem. He gave over 5 kings into the hands of Avram to be victorious and to overrule them. Avram gives Melchizedek Maaser, 10%, a tithe of everything that he got. Why? Because Melchizedek is the Kohen. The Kohen, you have to give our tithes, you have to give 10% back to the Mikdash, back to the Keuna. 5th Aliyah, the king of Sdom has a proposal, and he asks from Abraham that he should give back all of the souls that he took from Shevi, from captivity, and the property you take for yourself. Shlomo just had an amazing chidush. It's pretty much the whole words. Give me your soul, and you take the money. That's what the king of Sdom said to Abraham. The souls, I want them. Money, you can take them. Pele, pele. Avram answers to Sdom, and he swears on Hashem's name that he won't take anything from him. Michut v'ad tzroch nal. Not from a string to a shoelace. I don't want anything from you. The rabbis say, what's a string? Tzitzit. What's a shoelace? Tefillin. From there, the fact that Avram didn't want to touch his money, didn't want anything from him at all, not to benefit from this rasha at all, because he held back and didn't take all of that wealth, Hashem gave us tefillin and tzitzit. Because Avram doesn't want to have to say that, and he doesn't want the world to say, I got rich because of the king of Sdom. Hashem promised him to make him rich. Hashem said, go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have children, money, and your name will be respected. That doesn't mean it comes from Melech Sdom. There's many other ways, but here a wicked king is trying to give it to you, don't want it. Not only that, Avram says, I don't want the money, but everybody that was fighting with me, you're going to pay them. Then you give them. The tzaddik cannot not receive, but I have a bunch of soldiers here. All of them need to be paid. All of them need the wealth. All of them need to share it. After he's successful in the war, which was not a normal way to win a war, it was a miraculous war. Everybody knows now that Avram is strong. Avram is powerful. We also get confused about this. We think, right? Avram, Isha Chesed, is all about loving kindness. Avram was a warlord. Literally, the First World War came out miraculously victorious. Immense power. Before that, he fought Nimrod, which was Gibor Tzayid, who was the hunter, the mighty person of the whole entire world. Avram wasn't some pushover. Chesed doesn't just mean, turn the other cheek. That's not our religion. And now people thought, maybe Avram already received, everything that he was promised from Hashem. And Hashem says to him in a prophecy, Hashem amar lo benivua, ani metzil otcha shelo ta'anesh al ze sharakta nefeshot. Avram needs to get saved now, that he shouldn't get punished for killing people. There was a war in Melas, so people die, right? And there's an outcome of that. And regarding the reward that you're worried about, your reward is huge. Avram says to Hashem, you bless me with a lot of blessings, but I still don't have children. After all that success, what does a 70, 80 year old man just want? Just want that one child. You told me that was where this all started. I wanted a child. There's no one that's going to inherit me. The only person that could inherit Avram at this point in his life is Eliezer. Lot is already separated. That's it. Right? They're not connected anymore. And Lot has nothing either way. So you don't inherit, and you're that old, and he doesn't have a family. He doesn't have a wife. He's left with nothing. And the only person that could take it was Eliezer. And what's the benefit of giving it back to Eliezer? That's like giving it to Nimrod.
Eliezer and Nimrod were all family.
So Nimrod said, he's God. He's a king, right? And essentially, they both come from Canaan, and Canaan was cursed that they would be slaves, not that they'd be kings. So comes Eliezer and says, "Listen, you're a slave just like me, but I'm even higher than you. You're a slave to yourself that you think you're a god and you're a pharaoh and you're all, you can do everything. Eved Avraham Anochi, I'm a slave to Avraham. Avraham's the true king in the world, the tzaddik, and he's connected to Hashem. And you're just a slave to yourself and your own ego that you think you're a king." They were both family, they were both destined to be slaves. So one became a slave to himself and the other became a slave of the tzaddik. So Avraham wants a child. And Hashem answers to Avraham and says, "The person that's going to inherit you is only a person that comes out of you. It's going to be your children. He's going to be a child, I promise you." And Hashem takes now Avraham out of all of the celestials, all of this world, all of the systems of the stars and the astrology, right? Takes him above all that's written in the world map of what's meant to be according to Teva, according to nature. And allows Avraham the ability to look from above and to look down at the stars. And Hashem asks him, can you count all of these stars? Obviously the answer is no. And Hashem says, "I promise you this is how your children are going to be. You're going to have so many children like these stars, you won't even be able to count them." This teaching here, I'm going to stop here, just one of these Hasidic gems, is extremely important. A lot of times in life, we see a situation where al pi teva, according to nature, there's like no way we're getting out of it, and everything's closing down on us. One of the most important things to do at that moment, and it could be any situation, a person can find them, whether it's physical, spiritual, interpersonal, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. A person feels consumed by their problem. For example, Avraham in this situation, all of his life, he just wants a child. He got a blessing to move to a different place and things will turn around and everything's going to pick up for him. Finally gets there. Everything's adding up, but where's the child? He's so consumed in it. What does Hashem have to do at that moment? Abata. Take him out of this world. Look down at the world. And get a different perspective. Leave your situation. And that's what gave Avraham the ability to see that there's something bigger than just my dark cloud that I find myself in. There's something way bigger than that. In our days, practically, right? So most of us don't have Hashem coming and yoinking us up out of the world and showing us the whole entire galaxies. But we do have the ability to separate ourselves from a situation. And the way to do that is by way of speech. Rav Avraham Tzvi Kluger explains, Koach hafreda, koach hamila. The power to separate yourself is the power of speech. It's not stam that mila means word, and it's also the brit milah, which is also the mitzvah of this parasha. There's only three mitzvot in all of Sefer Bereshit. One of them is in this parasha, and it's mitzvah of milah, of removing the foreskin. So the foreskin is the hardships and the 365 things we can't get engaged with, all the dark places of this world. So too, you have to be able to separate yourself from your situation that you're in, and to connect to Hashem from a place above the stars, meaning above nature, above what I can see, above the limitations of what I comprehend, and realize that Hashem is much greater than that. And you talk about the situation, and you talk it out, and you get it out of you. That is the ability to separate all of the problems that you're having, separate them, cut them off. Milah also comes from the word, not only to cut, but you take the grains, right? You have even the word in English, a mill. Mill comes from the grain, right? Which is also milah. There's a lot of depth in this, right? It talks about the Mishnah, what do you do with disease, the husk. And see, the word there is limalil, the milah is. We have to talk, we have to get these things off. And we have to do it in a state of in the right mochin, the right mindset, right? Where you're able to really open up your heart and separate yourself from your situation to not be so consumed by it. And then you start to see Yeshua and you start to see a lot of bracha coming down. And Avraham believes the words that Hashem is saying, but he asks for a sign. And sorry, he didn't ask a sign. He believes in Hashem and he doesn't ask for a sign. And for that, Hashem counts it as tzedakah. The emunah, Reb Natan talks about this, emunah is tzedakah. Where's the verse exactly? Ve'emin ba'adonai v'yachshevea lo tzedakah. He believed in Hashem, and Hashem counted that that emunah was tzedakah. And tzedakah tatzil mimavid. Tzedakah saves a person from a lot of bad things in this world. What's one form of tzedakah? Emunah. To believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's to do the right thing. Tzedakah, righteousness, right? We want to be holy, we want to do the right thing. Believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we have to not ask questions. One of the praises Chazal says about Abraham and Sarah, that they went through 10 tests and they didn't ask one question. Not once did they ask, why is this happening? This, they complained, not at all. It was pure, pure, pure emunah from the beginning to the end. Then they went through it, and they went through it. Sixth Aliyah, Hashem says to Avram, I am Hashem, that I saved you from the Kifshan Ha'esh, from the furnace with Nimrod, in Ur Kasdim. And I wanted to give you this whole entire land, that you and your children after you will live here and inherit this place. And then Avram asks for the question. He goes for the question, and he says, how am I meant to know? B'meda. How am I going to know? And Hashem says to Avram, I want you to bring me 3 calves, 3 goats, 3 rams, a dove, 2 doves, a male and a female, right? And Avram does this mitzvah and he cuts them down and separates them into 2. And he has to walk through them. This is what's called Brit Ben Avetarim. This covenant that Hashem does, why it's all these animals and split them in half and put them on this side and not walk through it above us, right? Obviously Hashem has his understandings of things and there's tons of Torah on this. But everything was split and Hashem and Avram walks through it except for the bird. The bird wasn't split. And then a bird comes and lands on the betarim, meaning on all of these bodies. Avram sends away the bird so that it shouldn't eat and peck at the bodies of these animals. And the hint here that the world will come to try to destroy Am Yisrael. But the zchut of Avram Avinu will be what's pushing them away all the time. When the sun comes to set at the Shkia, all of a sudden Avram gets extremely tired, right? A slumber that comes over him, Tardema, right? Like Adam had when Eve was split from him. And then there was great darkness, and Avram senses a huge sense of fear. And this is a hint to all of the 4 exiles that we're going to go through as a nation, Am Yisrael. And Hashem reveals himself to Avram Avinu and makes it known that his children will have to go live in a land that's not theirs, it's a foreign land. And there they're going to be worked and afflicted and slaves for 400 years. This is what's called Galut Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt. And this is the Gzerah Brit Ben Abitarim. So we made a covenant with Hashem, and on the question of Avram asking for a sign, here's a sign. 400 years they're going to go to a land that's not theirs, and they're going to serve as slaves. But Hashem makes it known that in the end, don't worry, not only will I save them, I'm going to give it to the nation that afflicted them, and Am Yisrael will become a big, powerful nation in the world, and they'll come out with wealth. And you, Avram, you won't see it. You're going to pass away in peace, in old age. Avram Zaken Baba Yamim, right? It comes filled with days of good. You're not going to see any of this stuff that I'm talking about. But tzaddikim get saved from seeing the horrible things that happen sometimes. And this galut of Mitzrayim of Egypt will be for 3 generations. In the 4th generation, they'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. And this slumber is very, very strong in Avram. And he sees in his vision of sleeping, he sees a huge oven, a huge furnace of fire, and inside there's smoke and this crazy eshboer, a burning fire. And this is a hint to the four nations that afflicted us that will fall down to Gehinnom. At that moment, Hashem again makes a brit and a shevua, a promise, an oath, and a covenant with Avram. Lezarecha eten et haaretz hazod min nahar Mitzrayim ve'ad nahar Parat. I will give this land to your children from the river to the sea. The whole entire land, it's all ours. From the river of Egypt, which is the Nile, all the way to Nahar Parat, right, which is all the way in Babel, in Iraq. Huge lands. Eta Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni, Chiti, Prizi, Eretz, Oga, Emori, Knani, Girgashi, Eta Yevusi. All of these people, they will be Shayachim Levanecha Bidei Eretz Yisrael. They belong, so to say, the only connection is by way of your children. Your children rule over Eretz Yisrael. Any other nation that's already there now, one day will be underneath Am Yisrael. Really finished with the parasha. Sarai, the wife of Avram, was completely barren. She couldn't even have children. She didn't have a womb. She couldn't have children. And she had a shifcha mitzrit, an Egyptian maid. And because they want to have children and bring fruit and multiplicity and increase the house of Avram to get this blessing, Sarah in her humility offers that Avram should be with her maidservant, and from that he'll have children, he'll have a son. Avram listens to his wife, and Sarai goes and speaks to the heart of Agar that she should agree also to be with her husband, with Avram. And here the Torah tells us what happened after 10 years of being in the land of Israel. And from here we learn out the halacha, right? That a couple that's married for 10 years without children, the husband has to marry another wife. Hagar is given to Avram as a wife. Avram marries Hagar, and she gets impregnated, and she brings the first child. And when Hagar saw that she was pregnant, and that Sarai still isn't pregnant, she started to disrespect Sarai. She started to disrespect the mother of the house. Obviously, Sarai got upset, rightfully so, especially at Avram, on two levels. One, when you pray to Hashem for children, why did you only think about yourself? Why didn't you have intention on me as well? You were told that you were going to have children and they have to come out of you, so you prayed, but why didn't you pray that they would be by way of me? We should all learn this for our own houses, right? And the second claim that she had, that now, Hagar, your wife, why are you not screaming at her? She's disrespecting me. Why are you not giving it to her? Why are you not telling her off? Put her in her place. Put her in check. And then, Sarai turns to Hashem and says, please, make proper judgment. Tell me what's the truth here. Avram says to Sarai, here, your maidservant in your hands, do whatever you see fit. Do what you want to do. Sarai starts to afflict her and put her through it, give her the hardest work to do, and she's pregnant, and scrub, that's not clean enough, scrub again, do it again, clean it again, do it again. She's going at her. And Chazal says that Avram and Sarai, they were doing a big sin. And because of that, the Ramban says this, right? Because of how Sarai treated Agar, we have to deal with all the Ishmaelim, all these Arab terrorists that are coming after us all the time. Because of what she did to her, we're getting it back now. The Ramban was a Rishon. said this 700 years ago. Hagar continues on her path, and she's kicked out right into the desert. Shema Bekola. Avram's told by Hashem, listen to your wife. Shema Bekola. Avram says, okay, what's the halacha though? When do I have to listen to my wife? There's halacha for everything. Every commandment has halacha. When's the boundaries? When do I have to listen to my wife? Hashem says, Shema Bekola. Shacharit Mincha Arvit. You have to listen to the woman all day long. And Shema Shacharit Mincha Arvit. You have to listen to our wives. And now Hagar and Ishmael are kicked out of the house. She's running away from Sarai. This angel asks her and tells her, go back and submit. Go back to Sarai and give in. And promises Hagar that go back, you're going to have so many children you won't even be able to. And she also tells her that Hashem heard her prayers and you're going to have a child and you're going to name him Ishmael. Ishmael, Hashem heard the prayers. Chazal say, beautiful name. Most people that get it are wicked people. It's a beautiful name. Ishmael is a beautiful name. Most people that have it, Rashayim. Amen. He also says to her, what kind of person he's going to be like. He's going to love to live in the desert and to hunt for animals. And he's going to need everybody. And everybody will need him. You see this in our generation, huh? Nothing exactly what the... Yimach Shemam. V'yeh zar'o gadol ba'olam. And his seed will be great in the world. Agar thanks Hashem for the good news that she heard. And therefore she called the place Be'er ha'malach she'itgala elai. This is the well of the angel that was revealed to me. Agar goes back and she has a son from Avram and she calls him Ishmael according to the Ruach HaKodesh that she got. Avram at this time is 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Tavshin Pevav. 86 years old when he was born. 13 years after that, when Avram is 99 years old, Hashem reveals himself to Avram and asks for him, please serve me and be whole with me. Hashem says to Avram, I want to make a sign for the rest of your life between me and your children. Avram stands up, bows down to Hashem with such a simcha, this recognition that Hashem is coming down to him. And Hashem says to Avram, in order to make this sign between us, and to make you complete, I have to add the letter Hey to your name. And from now you will be called Avraham. In Gematria, it's 248, which is the amount of body parts that a person has in their body. And then you will be complete. Avram. Before that he was lacking, at 243. Hashem promises Avram that he will make him fruitful and multiply. Umelachim shishletu beumot mimcha yetzu. The kings that rule over the world, they'll come out of you. There's a conspiracy theory out there that all of the world leaders are all related. All the U.S. presidents are for sure related. Every single one of them is related, except for the one that was Dutch. There was one that was Dutch. He's not related, but the rest of them, including Obama, Bush, all of them, they're all related to the same family. And they have this opinion that goes out across the world that all the world leaders, if you go to India, they have a caste system, right? In their society, they're separated by different types of people. The highest society, the highest caste, is the Brahmin. Brahmin. What's Brahmin? They're lighter than everybody else too. Abraham. Abraham. The children of Abraham. It's not Stam. One of their gods, the highest god, is Sarai. It's weird stuff that you have across the world, but the Avtacha from Hashem. The rulers of the world, they're going to be your children. Seventh Aliyah, last Aliyah, Hashem makes a promise that it won't only be between me and you, the covenant between Hashem and this is essentially the Brit Milah. It won't be only between you, me and you. It's also going to be for your children after you. And I will be a God for them, and I'll give them the land of Israel forever. It's just that you have to make sure that you please guard this sign for you and for your children to make a Brit Milah. And here comes the first, well, the second mitzvah that we have in the Torah. Mitzvah Tamila. It's 8 days old. How do you do the mitzvah? You cut off the orla, right? That covers the foreskin, that covers the head of the member. And then there's this krum, this thin membrane that you split and you push it to the side so that the head of that member will be revealed. And that's the completion of man, right? People think that it's a blemish. It's not. It's like they gave this mashal. It's a weird mashal. You have a Coke bottle, a Coke can. How is it complete? When you open it and you remove the cap, before that you couldn't. What could you do with it? Everything's there, but it has no purpose in this world. When is it completed? When you remove the little bit of the top that allows you to now drink from it. Where is this rooted in? That it wants to be established in the body of a person, that in the form of their body they will have a sign that they're connected to God. That's the completion of it. That the Jew should be separated from the rest of the world, that we should know physically we're marked that we don't belong to the ways of this world. We are to Hashem, connected to Hashem Yitbarach. And this is the sign. This is the sign that Hashem wants between Avram and his children. That at 8 days old, when we have children, we bring them into a physical covenant with Hashem. And whoever doesn't do a Brit Milah is Chayav Karet. When he gets to the age of punishment, 20 years old, he's Karet, he's cut off from the Jewish people essentially because he doesn't have it. Your parents have to do the children, but if your parents didn't do it and you lived your whole entire life until 20, by the time you're 20, it's Karet. Therefore, if a person hasn't gotten a brit from their birth, they have to do it when they get older. By the way, there was a crazy story. I've told it here before, but once an Israeli guy came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha, and he came in with a 4-month-old baby, and Rav Chaim gave him bracha, but wouldn't give a bracha to the child. Just wouldn't give him a bracha. They tried all these different ways. He wasn't budging. Rav Chaim wouldn't say bua, nothing. Get out. Not after a while, it was like too much time. They told the man, sorry, you have to walk out. This guy got so upset, the gabbais realized there was something not normal here. Went and asked him, what's the situation? What's going on? Why are you so upset? He says, listen, I didn't come for a bracha for myself. What do I need a bracha for? He says, my son's 4 months old. He's going to have surgery this week. And part of the surgery, they're going to do a brit milah. And I wanted a bracha. That's not going to be able to do a normal brit. It's in the hospital and everything. Wanted a bracha from the Rav. They go, now we understand. They go back to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and say, the kid's Jewish. He just doesn't have a brit yet because he needs to have surgery. He's sick. Rav Chaim could see that the baby was not part of Am Yisrael. Why? 4 months old, no brit. Why? The reasons why, okay, that was a little bit above Rav Chaim. But the reality was, this child is not deserving of bracha. And then he gave him bracha and everything. If you see the power of the tzaddik, that he's able to pick up on a child that's completely dressed, that he doesn't have a brit. He's not, something's wrong here. It's not a normal person. Avraham then goes and falls on his face from such simcha. He fills up at 100 years old. And Sarah at this time is 90 years old, that they're going to be able to still bring children. Avraham has this... Avram gets taken back and he says, you know, this is a huge thing. 100 years old to get such a bracha. I would be okay if just Ishmael would have Yirat Shamayim. Like, that would be enough. Avram gets, you know, maybe it's too much to ask for, to have a child at 100 years old. You know, you already gave me one son. If he could just live for the rest of his life doing the right thing, that would be amazing. Hashem says to Avram, here's your wife Sarah. Her name was also changed and added a hey, and the yud was removed and given to Yehoshua, right? Right? Yeah. Yehoshua. His name was Hoshea. Moshe changed his name to Yehoshua, and he got the Yud. And that's why he didn't have to go with Kalev. to Hebron, because he already had it.
Also to separate him from the spies.
Correct. That was his bracha. And Caleb's bracha was that he went to Hebron.
Yeah.
But there's the question, why didn't Yoshua go to Hebron? Because he already had the Avot in his name with the Yud of Sarai. Wow. So Hashem says, no, here's your wife, Sarah, and she'll have a son, and I want you to name the son Yitzchak. And that's my sign, that's the proof between me and you. And also Ishmael, I'll give a bracha, and he'll be increased very, very much. And he'll give also birth to 12 princes. And Sarah, your wife, will give birth to Yitzchak in a year. And I will also keep my covenant with him. And Hashem finishes to speak with Abraham and goes up. And Abraham loses this Kvod Hashem, this cloud of glory that's on him. And in that moment that Hashem commanded him, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all of his children and everything that they acquired with their money, and he made them all do a Brit Milah. Ishmael at this moment is 13 years old. Marry children and everything. Brit. He was 99 years old. Ishmael was 13. And everybody had a brit on the same day. That's the parasha. To give just a little bit on this idea of the brit. We say it here a lot. Love is one of my most favorite divrei Torah because it's so real. Put your seatbelts on, it's a little bit gory. But just Torah, we have to learn it. What is the pnimiyut? What is the inner aspect of a brit? So any contract is a contract between two parties. Here the parties are Am Yisrael, by way of our representative, our forefather Avraham, and the other party is the main party is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. We're making a covenant between the two of us. Hashem says you have to do this, and I'll do this. Every contract there's two ways. What was Avraham's commitment? Yirat Shamayim. Ah, I need you to get rid of all of the 365 negative commandments, things that I don't want you to do at all. That's what's called removing the foreskin. And I also want you to sanctify yourself by way of what's permitted to you. To eat whatever, to eat, drink, sleep, whatever you're allowed to do and you're meant to do in this world, that's not inherently a mitzvah, it's just an action that's needed for the world. I want you to do it in a holy way. That means cutting it down when needed, not overindulging, and also having the right mindset when you're doing it. And if you do that, I will be there for you and your children as a God. Elohim, it says, meaning Hashem will show up in your life. How do we see this in the Brit Milah? The first step of removal of the foreskin, that is the 365 negative commandments. What do we do with the foreskin? We bury it in the ground, there's no use for it, get rid of it, push it away, nothing to do with it. After that, there's a thin membrane that needs to be split and pushed to the side. Chazal say, mal velo para, ki'ilu lo mal. If you do the first step and you don't do the second step, it's as if you didn't even do the first step. So we have to get rid of the 365 negative commandments, all these things that the Torah told us. We have no way to elevate any sparks there, completely forbidden, don't want you to go there. After that, we have to sanctify ourselves by way of what's permitted to us, to not do it too much, and also to do it with the right intention. And if we do that, then there's Gilui Atara. There's a revelation of the crown, which is the crown of Hashem in your life every single day. You walk and talk and think and feel and see Hashem everywhere. In the books, in people, in the food, in business, in traveling. Hashem shows up in your life. That is the covenant. That is the idea of having a brit with Hashem. We have our part of being holy, and we do that by way of not doing bad things and doing other everything else with the right mindset. And when we do that properly, Hashem shows up in our life and gives us immense bracha. Zat Hashem Yitbarach, may we all be zocheh to understand the parasha in a deeper way, that, like the Baal Shem Tov says, that we were all put in the gan, lo'avda u'le'shomra. We were all put in the gan. The gan is the 53 parashiyot of the Torah. And we're put there to work it and to protect it. To work it, that's to do all the 248 positive commandments. To protect it, that's to keep from all the 365 negative commandments. The more that we can do that, Hashem shows up in our life as Elohim. Shows up as a God in our life and gives us bracha and makes us into goy gadol. All the families of the world will get blessed by way of you. It's important to know this. The fact that we have an internal covenant with Hashem doesn't mean that Hashem has to show up. So it's unbreakable. But it doesn't mean I have to keep my side of the contract if you're not keeping yours. We have a side of the contract. Our side of the contract is just as important as Hashem's. And Hashem always keeps his. Just you want to see it more? You want to see Hashem in your life? Guard your Kiddusha. Guard your Kiddusha. Guard your Kiddusha. That's the whole entire thing. Not to be like Lot. You see, you get an option to pick land. You want to go to Vegas. You want to go to where everything... Go to the Tanua place. Go to the place of family. Go to the place of Bracha. A place of settled mindset. Bezat Hashem will have Shefa, Bracha, Bezchut, Avraham, Besara. Amen. Last thing, just because we mentioned Eretz Yisrael. Why is it that the land of Israel is called the land of Israel? Why not the land of Avraham? Why not the land of Yitzchak? Why not the land of Yaakov? Right? So, if it was the land of Avraham, then all the children of Avraham could have a touch into it. That includes Ishmael. If it was the land of Yitzchak, then Esav could also have a plan in. And Yaakov, why not Yaakov? Because Yaakov is the lower side. We want to be the higher side. We want to be Israel. And not only that, when we're Israel, we see that the land also is connected to all of the forefathers. And Israel is the letters Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka and Rachel, Avraham, and Leah. Israel, Eretz Israel, it's all of the Avot together. It's not just this and that, it's the whole package. The Jew is the whole package of all of the Avot together in unison. The male ones, the female ones, that's what Eretz Israel is. All encompassing, on the high level, not on the low level of Yaakov. Not when we're down. When we're Li Rosh, with straight connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things are clear. We fight with angels and man, and we were able to overcome it all. That's Am Yisrael. That's Am Yisrael, and we do it by way of the Zechut of the Avot. We have to know we have this land because of Zechut Avot. We have everything because of Zechut Avot. We're nearly not worthy at all to do anything. But we had Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. We had Tzaddikim that gave birth to us, that created us. And like we see in the parasha, Am Yisrael is above Teva. Avraham, according to Teva, Avraham and Sarah didn't even have wombs. They couldn't have children. So only when Hashem took them out of this world to a place that's much higher than Teva was the seed planted. And we came from that. That's where we come from. Above this world. We're not shayach to the nonsense of this world. And that's why Am Yisrael doesn't have mazal. We're above the mazal. If you don't keep Torah and mitzvot, you get led through this world just like every other goy. It's a little bit more siyata dishma. But when you keep Torah and mitzvot, Hashem takes you out of this world and you're above the world and you see nisim v'niflot, b'zat Hashem. Shabbat shalom!